At JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Hey, it's Ben. The Secret Room has been a labor of love for me since early 2016. And along the way, about 150 people have shared secrets, both big and small. The show has changed a bit, hopefully for the better, and I still have so many plans for it, to get great stories for you that will make you laugh or cry or just say, whoa. And along the way, we've picked up thousands of listeners from all over the world. Thank you for making this a regular destination in your Podverse. I haven't asked you for much, just to expose your deepest secrets and your rawest emotions. And I think I might have shamed myself by groveling for iTunes reviews just a couple of times. But we're about to start carrying ads, which is going to be good for your podcast because it will enable me to invest even more into it. To attract advertisers, I need to be able to tell them a little bit about you. As an aggregate, of course, not individually. We know about secrets around here, come on. There's a link for an anonymous 7-question survey in the show notes in your pod player. You can also find the survey at secretroompodcast.com. I hope you'll take a moment to support your favorite little indie podcast that could, The Secret Room. It will literally take you 30 seconds. Thanks a lot, and pod on.
Hey, what's your secret?
So I never told my family that I can't stand the color orange and green touching each other. So like if I ate peas and carrots, I can't stand the colors together. And my vegetables can't touch my starch and they can't touch my meat. And they never really realized that even if they wore like earrings that look like the little frozen carrots, I hated it. I had to make them take it off. So I never told anybody. That's my secret.
Hey everyone, it's Ben. We all have things in our past we'd rather forget. Mistakes we've made and humble beginnings. Before he was famous, movie star Hugh Jackman was a gym teacher, and his contemporary Johnny Depp sold ballpoint pens. I doubt these men reference those jobs on their resumes when they go to casting calls today, or that they even go to casting calls at all. Our guest in this edition of The Secret Room has also chosen to leave certain jobs off his resume, but for him, it's because of the stigma.
Do you really want me to get into it now?
As you might have surmised from the title of today's show, this is what we call an NSFW episode. That's not safe for work, nor for anyone, young or old, for whom a discussion of the inner workings of the porn industry might not be a good fit. However, if it's a good fit for you and those around you, by all means, stick around for a really fun ride. We're going to get seriously down in an interview about an industry that our guest found could be fun, could be gross, could be weird, and could be great. Consider yourself warned. You're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. I'm Ben Hamm.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's Paul, the man with a career path you might not expect.
Okay, let's make sure it's still recording. Yes, it's still recording. Well, my secret is I used to edit and be a part of production for the porn industry in the San Fernando Valley. And now I do video for tech companies and education companies and film.
Yeah, he went on to work for Stanford and Google.
I've only told my close friends is that I've did this work, but I only did it to pay the bills.
So Paul enters the secret room.
All right, now I'm all ready. Oh, but let me close the door.
First, he tells us about life before porn.
My background was actually in elementary school education. I made the switch into video, and I said, you know, I want to be a filmmaker. You know, I started working my way up from an intern all the way up into the senior video editor, and I said, and then I edited an Emmy-winning documentary, and I went, oh, hey, there's something to this video that I actually have the forte for. So it was then and there I said, you know what, now I want to make money. And then everyone said, no, if you want to be a filmmaker, you want to make it in the industry, you have to move to LA and you have to do your own stuff. I went, okay, I'll do whatever it takes.
So what did you do when you got to LA?
So when I got to LA, I didn't know anyone. I said to myself, well, I really need something that keeps me in the industry, that keeps my skill set up and pays the bills. I remember looking on Craigslist. I was getting to the point where I was getting kind of desperate. And then one said adult industry. And I sat there and I said, well, if I wanted to work at Disney, this wouldn't work. But
right.
They actually wanted me to come in for an interview. So I went, okay, and I did.
What was the place like that you went to interview at? Was it a porn studio?
The company that I interviewed for when I got there was called Penthouse. When I walked in, it looked kind of like a regular kind of corporate environment. And I went, okay, this seems pretty legit. I interviewed with, let's just say, John. He said, okay, well, we're going to give all of our freelancers like a test.
Oh my gosh. So they provided you a bunch of just raw, unedited video of a porn shoot.
Yes, they were testing the candidates to see which one could, you know, develop that one scene. And I said, okay, great. And I went home and, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. There was all of the, there was all the hoo-has and everything. So as someone who's only looked at pornography as an amateur, I just said, think of this as any other job that you've ever had. And you're trying to tell a story, beginning, middle, and end, or just an arc or something like that. And then I came in for that second interview and they called me in and said, yeah, we'd like to hire you. And I actually had to stop him. I said, excuse me, so may I ask you why you decided to go with me? And he said, oh, that's a good question.
Oh my gosh.
I was the only one who had no porn experience, but I portrayed the best, I guess, story or something like that.
Wow. Okay. Good job.
To this day, I still have that trailer saved on Vimeo, password protected, of course. I kid you not, one time, one of my birthdays, people were so curious, I actually showed them the trailer at my birthday party at my house.
Oh my gosh. Would you share that video with me? Could I see your first foray yeah, into the industry?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What I find interesting here is that, you know, is that their direction to you was create a story, because I don't think people really think of porn as conveying stories. The plot is really secondary.
Well, I think it's because the owner is a woman, cueing it a little bit more towards like a story, but in all fairness, like, come on, I mean, the storylines are not very in-depth.
Sure, of course. This was not Gone with the Wind.
No. After I got the job, one of my friends who lived in San Diego, a married woman, said, oh, well, I'm doing editing too. Do you think I could get a job there? And I said, I don't know. Let's see. The pay was actually decent. She did some, you know, a little work for, what did I call him? John or Dan?
John, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, his name changing every minute. It's like to protect the innocent.
Right.
I thought it was hilarious that they actually have directors for these shoots. And you could tell that like half of the directors are like, oh yeah, just like touch him like that. And I remember just thinking like, is the director really needed? I mean, these women who've been doing it for so long, they can kind of direct themselves. The rating system now, I think, is here at this company, they said, oh yeah, we cut out double X, so we're just doing X and triple X. So X would go to the clients like in Germany and stuff where they're not allowed to show the parts. They can be naked, but you can't see any insertion, you can't see any of that stuff. So, and then triple X is where you kind of see it all. I did learn that there's only two things you can't, when you do triple X, you cannot show in porn. One is blood, and the other is vomit. I was really surprised, but then everything else kind of goes.
Wow, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's amazing, like, you know, whenever you go into an adult bookstore, that kind of musky, dank semen smell and okay. Astroglide. I mean, that's what it smells like. It kind of smelled like that there in the studio because of all of the, you know, the scenes that they've done in the amount of years. It's like, if those walls could talk. A couple times I got to meet some of the actors. You know, some of the women were actually really, really nice. You could tell that they were doing it as their career. There were others that, like, this one woman, like, she had, like, track marks on her arm, and she just completely disrobed and was just talking with someone, and I went, whoa, shouldn't you be doing that over in the studio?
Were the executives there, was it all very professional corporate environment? You know, the bosses and the management, or, you know, is it kind of different than, quote-unquote, regular society?
It's not as different as you think. For the most part, everyone, you know, was treated like, okay, like, you do your work, I do my work, we talk, we meet, we do all that. But there's always that kind of underlying different message that you feel when you're going to work. One feature is about five scenes, and there's always a sixth scene, which is a bonus. I would go home and edit all those, and then the senior editors would review it, they'd give it back to me a week later. I think each one was about, I'd get about $2,000. I never thought of it, but I was the only gay person, and here I am editing straight porn. I did not get turned on by anything. I don't think I ever did. I treated it like it was any other job. And it's so funny because imagine, you know, if you hear your neighbor and then I have my big speakers on so I can hear any noises that the director's making so I can cut that out, and hearing, oh yeah. And so there were a couple times I got kind of embarrassed. Like one day I left my door open and went, oh my God, I don't know what people are thinking of this. This job and this and the second job are not on my resume at all. Like they're not on my LinkedIn or anything. And it's so bizarre because just about 3-4 weeks ago, I got a LinkedIn request from head of production from Penthouse. And I've been so hesitant to accept, I haven't, because I said, as soon as I click on that, I feel like I'm gonna open these doors to people and things that I don't want in my life because it could come back.
Why don't you want it in your life? Let me ask you that. The answer may be obvious, but it just in your words.
Yeah, the reason why I don't want this kind of tacked onto my resume or kind of into my past. I mean, I have no problem talking about it casually at a restaurant.
Or on a podcast.
Yeah. No one knows who I am. But I don't want it as part of my career is because I don't want it to bite me in the butt. And what I mean by that is, I would say if I ever wanted to work for Disney or Pixar, or I don't know if that's going to come back and say, whoa, so you did this, like that's not going to reflect good on our company and so on and so forth. But I also think I'm my own person, and especially American society, sexuality is such a hush-hush thing. I thought I would actually be compromising my morals and compromising my standards by doing it. And then after I did my first assignment, I said, oh, this has actually opened my eyes more rather than close them off and make me scared. So it has nothing to do with being scared of my past. It's more of knowing where I want to go.
And so how long did you work, you know, officially in the porn industry?
I would say just about 2 years.
How did you decide and how did you manage the jump from that industry into mainstream industry?
I just put it on my resume as working freelance and doing independent DVD authoring.
I see. Okay. You just left out that four-letter word that begins with a P.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you had interviews, did people ask you specifically, you know, what the DVD authoring jobs were during that two-year period?
No, actually, which was great. I just kind of embellished a little bit and said, oh, I worked on independent projects. The only person who's ever grilled me about what it is I did in my past was my stepmom, of all people.
Oh my gosh.
She was driving me to the airport to go back to LA. And she said, oh, okay, so, you know, I'm still confused. Like, what do you mean you're an independent DVD author? What does that mean? I said, oh, well, I edit stuff for smaller companies who need to create these DVD menus. And she goes, well, what does it mean?
Right.
I felt like Dorothy from the Golden Girls saying, condoms, Rose, condoms, condoms, condoms. So I just yelled, it's porn. I'm editing porn, okay? And then we sat in silence. And then she said, Well, dear, I did some nude photography when I was your age, and I kind of went, oh my god, that was just like, it's so funny how that made me cringe more than looking at naked pussetas.
I was going to say, I think that's great, because with that statement, she was signaling to you, like, no worries.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think my own dad or my mom know. I am not sure if my brother knows. I know a lot of my close friends know, of course, because I showed it at my birthday party.
Right.
Yeah, it's not that I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't want to get blackballed or anything like that from the industry, because it's like once you're on a path, you're stuck on that path. I was going, oh God, it's like, is this going to be my career? I mean, I guess I could make it. You'd be surprised, besides Penthouse, like porn doesn't really pay that well. I mean, I learned how much the porn stars actually make.
How much?
We'll start with men. So if you're a guy and you're in a scene and you have sex with a woman, I mean, you could make as low as $200 for that scene.
Okay. And how many scenes might you do in a day?
Well, it just depends on the guy. Like I've seen guys, like, they've taken Viagra, they've been high, they've taken drugs so they can stay hard for like at least an hour or two. I think I've only seen guys do one, maybe two a day. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So they're not taking money home from Fort Knox.
In straight porn. If they did gay porn, they actually get paid the most. And that's why a lot of guys will do gay for pay.
Well, how much does the gay for pay pay?
It could have changed in the last couple of years, but from what I heard, it could be like at least $1,000 to do one scene. Whereas women, say they start at the bottom, which is like there's a solo, again, like $200. Then the next step up would be girl on girl. And girl on girl, when I talk to a lot of women, is like the safer route, because then there's no man involved, there's no fluids involved. It's like, you know, girls get how girls work together. So they could get a little bit more than that. And then it comes to, you know, scenes where they do man and girl. That can pay anywhere from $400 to $800 for the woman. And then, of course, there's the creme de la creme, and I mean that with every pun intended, is when a girl has to swallow a lot of guys.
Oh my gosh.
It was the only video I ever saw. It was called Swallowing College Sluts 3. And this one girl had to swallow something like 13 guys, and she ended up throwing up halfway through, and I had to cut that out because you can't see vomit. And that's when I learned you couldn't see vomit. And then I had to fade it back in. She says, hey, I'm ready for some more. And then she got to number 8 and she threw up again. One time in my entire life, I had to pause the computer. I had to get up. I had to go into the hallway and just take a breather.
Oh, God, sounds awful. Not sure what's sexy about that, but, you know.
People just fascinate me. So in the industry, I feel like there's two types of people. There's the type of person who works in the industry who's really, really all-encompassing, very friendly, engaging, very welcoming. I mean, I had a lot of people say like, oh, you're gay? Oh, that's awesome. You know, I have a couple of gay friends and blah, blah, blah. And working in a lot of the corporate industry, being gay is still something you don't really want to talk about. That's what I liked about porn was that because they see it all and they realize that there's colors for everyone, especially, you know, in the sexual realm. And then the second type of person is the crazy, like, they were, you know, molested by their uncles. They're constantly on drugs. They're runaways. They're some real mental cases that are really crazy. I won't mention his name, but he actually came in and he tries to look like 50 Cent. He tries to talk like him, walk like him, big muscles and everything. And there's like nothing in his head. And he thinks he can get away with murder. I remember he was on the phone, like not caring about what the heck he was saying as I was editing. He's like, oh yeah, I told this girl that, you know, I give her $400 to do the sex scene with me. And then I'd say, oh yeah, and the second scene that you do with me, I'll pay you double. And then he said on the phone, like, yeah, I never ask girls for a second time.
Okay.
And I was very uncomfortable, you know, being around him. I wasn't afraid of him. It was just more like, wow, I don't want to be alone in a room with you. Like, I can't handle you.
I think people probably have the impression, you know, that the porn industry is probably populated with people like that more than not. Would that be a correct perception? You know, it's kind of an underworld. People are a little slimy.
There's definitely that aspect, but it just depends on who you meet. There was one of the owners that was next to the DVD authoring company. He'd come over because his office was right next to ours. And I remember editing something and he was like over my shoulder like, And he's like, you know, in his 50s, like, oh, yeah, I totally did her. Oh, she's such a skank. Me, I kind of just looked and kind of like laughed. I'm like, people don't talk like that. I think that's like hilarious. I look at him and I go, I would never, if I were a woman, I would never want to have sex with you. There is still a little bit of that kind of feeling of sliminess, of feeling immoral and everything. But, you know, growing up Catholic, of course, like, I'd always felt guilty, you know, looking at pornography and everything. In all fairness, it's like, you're not hurting anyone. It's just something that you're watching. You're not actually, you know, hurting anyone. I always believe that. Like, do whatever makes you happy, as long as you're not hurting anyone.
Can women or men who have been around a little bit longer, made a name for themselves, and I guess you might call them stars in the industry, can they command a higher salary?
Yes, they can, for sure. The real lucrative money, believe it or not, is actually doing gay for pay or just the gay porn, or a woman doing like a group scene. It was very fascinating to see that a lot of these women, they don't just start with group scenes. It's almost like an apprenticeship. They have to work their way up in popularity and everything. And it's also amazing to see a lot of what these women, you know, do to their bodies. Some of them were anorexic. Some of them had lots of plastic surgery. It's because there's something for everyone out there. That's why anyone who wants to start in the industry can find a niche.
Are the businesses run professionally, or do you find that, you know, the actors and technical talent like yourself and directors are taken advantage of in any way?
From what I've seen, no. I mean, it's especially in the San Fernando Valley and Hollywood, they run them like roughly like legitimate companies, that because they know that all the legalities involved, they don't want to be a part of that. That's when I said the one who looked like 50 Cent, he was doing a lot of stuff that was kind of like against the law and stuff. And eventually it's going to catch up to him. Like, he wasn't reporting stuff to the IRS. He was using copyright infringement stuff. Like, he'd wear like a Giants hat in his porn, and like, you can't do that. And he thinks he can get away with anything. I mean, he used to park in front of the building in the red zone and just leave his car. Like, that's what I was saying about there's two types of people, the cool people that are wanting to give, you know, the best to their employees. And there's other people who are just like, you're just a nutcase. I was surprised that a lot of the women are 5 feet five or shorter. And they do that so that man's penis will look a lot bigger.
Get out.
No, I'm serious. Like, I've met about three or four of them. I'm going, wow, you're really short. And the trailer, I'll share it with you. Like, she was actually crowned in like 2012 or something as the best newcomer or something at the Adult Awards. I find her very entertaining.
So you're making the transition to another company, and that was a big company, right? What was it?
Just so happened, I got a call from Stanford University, and they said, hey, we found your resume. Would you be interested in working for us for 6 months? And over the phone, I was trying to hold in my excitement. I was like, oh my God, yes, rescue me from this hellhole. Again, it wasn't the material, it was how much I had to do and who I was working with. And then I asked them, you know, where did you find my resume? They found my resume on Dice.com from 2011. So I just kind of like wiped my brow and phew, okay, great. And then after 6 months, I ended up working at Google.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
The Google vetting process, they did not discover that you had worked in the porn industry, or did they know?
No, the only thing that I think I put anywhere in my resume, anywhere online, was the parent company to all of these, which is called Friend Finder Networks.
Okay. And that didn't tip anybody off?
No.
Great.
No.
So then what kind of videos were you doing at Stanford and at Google? What were you doing there?
Oh, I was doing education how-to videos. You know, users would sign on and say, I need to know more about this thing on Google.
And did it ever come up in Google? Like, you know, did you ever have to sort of steer the conversation away from your previous history, or do you ever find yourself close to being caught?
No, I just consider myself pretty sly that I can kind of bend.
Did you find that, you know, working in that industry had desensitized you to your sexuality or whatever?
I thought about it and I wondered if I was desensitized to it, but I'm only desensitized to professional porn because they're paid to do it. They're probably on drugs. They don't give off, like, how do I know if it's real? How do I know if, you know, you're really enjoying it? I mean, you're getting paid to do this, and we have to edit it so that we take out all the erroneous stuff, like when a woman's on her period or when someone farts, or sometimes people like that stuff, but not at Penthouse. They had like slightly higher standards.
So what are you doing now professionally?
Yeah, so now I'm a video designer for a tech company in Santa Monica. And they also do not know anything about this.
What do you think they would do if they found out?
Oh, I really don't know. I think
they might not care.
I think they...
You've proven yourself.
Well, I think a lot of tech companies generally are a little bit more progressive. The porn industry is really its own industry. You can kind of make it there, but you really got to stay in that industry. And I did not want to stay in it.
Why not?
Well, one, it wasn't making as much money as tech industry does. I'm more into directing, producing, editing, not strictly editing. I mean, I thought about it, and I even talked to my friend who I got the job at Penthouse, and she's a married woman and everything. And, you know, I felt like that we could actually create a porn company that was a lot better. But then we thought about it and said, oh my God, there's all the legalities. You're going to have to hire a lawyer, and, you know, you don't want to have anyone sue you, and you don't want to have, you know, health risks and all this stuff. And I just said, oh my God, I don't even want to open that can of worms. Even though I know we could legitimately make a really great company, I don't want to do it. They've taken a hit. I mean, when I was working there, that's when they were really feeling the pull, and not in a good way.
So how long has it been since you left the porn industry? No.
I think that was 4 years ago.
So 4 years out and having worked in the industry for 2 years, what is your opinion now of the porn industry?
I could take it or leave it. It's not something that I feel guilty about. It's also not something that I cherish. It was just a job, and I do like to keep it a little bit more private. As Americans, you know, anything with sexuality is just so overstigmatized. I really don't like to bring it up a lot. I kind of like, I say, and I worked in porn, and moving on.
Right. People look at you a little different.
When I do bring it up, most people are completely fascinated. They say, oh, really? Like, what did you do? Who did you see? And it's like, oh my goodness. Like I just considered it a job, like sometimes a little dirty job, but there, trust me, I had worse jobs than those.
Like what?
Oh, when I had to be a cashier at AMC Theaters, I dealt with the meanest customers in my life. People screaming at you over 50 cents. I went, okay, really?
So working as a cashier at a movie theater is worse than working in porn.
Agreed.
Okay. That's great to know. Do you think you learned anything from working in the porn industry?
Well, I know... The question that's on a lot of people's minds is like, did I learn any techniques or anything like that? Well,
right.
Techniques okay. In the bedroom? I'd say only a little bit of yes. In the end, I did learn a lot from it, and I learned a little bit more about me for the future.
Yeah, and that's really more what I was driving at.
Okay.
Why did you want to tell your secret in the secret room today?
Sexuality has always kind of fascinated me. As an American society, we don't cherish it. It's always the back door. It's part of who we are as human beings. The porn industry is always going to be there. And so instead of not talking about the giant elephant in the room, we should talk about it. I really don't like it being hush hush. And so doing this interview, I really wanted to put it out there into the world to say, hey, everyone, I worked in the industry. I learned from it. It was fun. It was gross. It was weird. And it was great.
That's awesome.
Now, Paul's left the world of porn, filled with its dank, musty odors and crazy characters. Look above. He lays snug in a nest, weaved by Stanford, Google, and that unnamed Santa Monica tech company. But quietly dangling, like a virtual apple, a forbidden friend request from that which lies beneath his perch beckons. It tempts Paul's response with a covenant, assuring good pay and corporate offices. Paul, thanks a lot for your interview. It was fun. It was gross. It was weird. And it was great. Paul sent some pictures to share on social. First up, there's a screen cap from the demo that helped him land his job in porn, and a picture of the office building where all the stories he told us went down. And if you want to see what Paul looks like, a little bit, there's a picture of him too, sort of. It definitely protects his identity, but you can scratch that itch a bit if you like. The pictures are all waiting for you now at facebook.com/secretroompod. Go get them. And producer Susie Larkin and I struggled to come up with a name for this episode.
I should probably apologize that I sound like a prepubescent boy. I lost my voice this weekend.
Oh my God.
I have a friend in town and she's been torturing me with things I don't want to do.
Wow, you guys must have been having a pretty good time.
Yeah, one of us was.
You got anything for the secret room?
I just got you there. I was going to tell you that I thought I had a better title for your episode.
You want to share them here? Oh. You've got a soapbox. Use it.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking from wet to tech.
From wet to tech. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's more provocative. Also from search history to work history.
Nice. Very creative.
Yeah. Like that one.
You are now doing something new on our Twitter feed.
Yeah, I've been adding some listener secrets to Twitter. So it's a little bonus content for those of us who are following us.
Man, what a great idea. Why haven't we been doing this all along? They're like 140 character secrets.
No, we get 280 character secrets now. Did you want to hear one?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so one of the secrets I got was, I'm very skinny, but I feel squishy and out of shape. I don't feel like I can vent about it because no one can relate to me.
That should be a secret.
It should be. I'm sure there's more of a story there.
You should go find it out.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Good. We'll see you on Twitter, Susie.
Yeah, come follow us at Secret Room Pod.
Remember Elkid's interview last time about shadow people?
Do you have a spooky secret?
I've been super worried about shadow people lately. Shadow people are this weird phenomena that happens mostly in the South. And so a friend of a friend encountered one in a parking lot.
How?
She was like going to her car and
there's just like a shadow folk
and there's
there.
Like a shadow person hanging out.
Yeah. And here's a hard hitting follow up from Elkid. I'm not sure I agree with her final assessment.
This event still has a half hour left, but I need to get to my grandmother's house. So, they did this event at a community college, and it's a pretty large campus, so I was like lost. It was like I knew which building it was in. So I parked kind of far from the event. I ended up having to like walk through the school, and as I'm walking to my car, I was like, fuck this. This is how people run into shadow people. And this is all Ben's fault. Ben's fault.
Two episodes ago.
My name is Rachel. And my secret is about an attempted murder.
Rachel's back next time, and I turn the microphones over to her, and she conducts an interview in a follow-up to her own secret.
So greetings, brother. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me today about my appearance on the Secret Room podcast.
You are most welcome. Thank you for asking me to join in.
That's coming up in the Secret Room. Thanks for downloading, everyone. I have to say that while Google and Stanford did not discover Paul's pornorific past, we don't really know that it would have disqualified him for work at either place. Paul, how did you hear about The Secret Room?
I heard about The Secret Room from my friend, and I started listening to the podcast, and I thought they were amazing, and I had to be a part of it.
We love stories here, and you can submit yours at secretroompodcast.com. Participate in the show you love. We make it easy, and you can also just email.
You can share your secret at share@podcast.secret.com.
Close.
God, see?
See, I need an easier address. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show. If other people want to join us, how can they do it?
People can share their secrets by emailing share@secretroompodcast.com.
And please accept my personal invitation to visit us at facebook.com/secretroompod. Where you can interact with the show, like stuff, see show pictures, and share the page with your friends. And follow us on Twitter at Secret Room Pod for Twitter banter and for bite-sized secrets of 280 characters or less.
Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder.
And production assistance by Susie Lark. Leave a shiny review for us on iTunes or elsewhere. Thank you so much in advance. And thanks also for listening. I'm Ben Hamm, and this is The Secret Room. Pod on.
Pod on. If you don't treat it like another job, like, oh my God, some of these guys, when I'd go in and turn in my drive at Penthouse, some of these guys would wear big sweatpants and they'd sit really low in the dark room. And I remember seeing, I looked up in the corner and one guy was kind of rubbing. I'm like, really? Wow.
Okay, that is definitely not like a mainstream job.
No.
Alexa, I want to buy the Secret Room Podcast t-shirt.
Did you want me to order the Secret Room Podcast t-shirt?
Yeah. That's right. The best podcast t-shirt ever. And it's available on Amazon Prime right now. Find it in 5 luscious colors, in styles for men and women. Up your cool factor now by showing your affiliation with the coolest indie podcast on the planet. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Secret Room Podcast. Alexa, which color t-shirt do you like best?
Infrared is super pretty.
No, it's not really available in infrared. Yet. Maybe soon. The Secret Room Podcast is brought to you by Audible, purveyors of the largest audiobook collection anywhere. To get a free audiobook download and a complimentary 30-day membership courtesy of The Secret Room, head to audibletrial.com/secretroom.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.